Holy God, you disrupted the world with your love in Jesus Christ. So as we hear his word, fill us again with your grace, with your hope and your peace, and help us to be your faithful people in the world. Amen. I have told you before what a huge Ted Lasso fan I am. In one of the early scenes, Ted, who is an American college football coach, is hired to coach a British football team, what we would call soccer. He knows nothing at all about British football. When he arrives at the team's facility, he is immediately ushered into a conference room packed with rabid reporters, wondering what in the world he thinks he's doing. Is this a joke? The questions keep coming and get angrier and angrier, and Ted reaches for the bottle of water somebody has put in front of him. He breaks into a cold sweat and takes a big gulp of water, only to discover that it's sparkling or fizzy water, as he calls it. And that's the moment when he spews it all over all the reporters at the press conference. Sparkling or still, flat or bubbly, bottled or tap, ice or no ice, is club soda okay, or do you want San Pellegrino? I just want a glass of water. Well, as Katie said, this week in Vacation Bible School, our children have been learning about water. They heard about the waters of creation and Moses parting the Red Sea and about Jesus being baptized in the waters of the Jordan. Today we turn to John chapter 4 and a conversation that Jesus has with a woman at a well. Listen now as Blake and Bobby help me retell this story. It was hot. The sun was shining and there was no shade. All the women of the town had come to the well to get water in the morning when it was cool. All the women except one. The people in the town didn't like her very much, so she went to the well at noon when no one else wanted to go because it was so hot. Her jug was heavy, even without any water in it. It would be more difficult to carry it when it was filled with water. She sighed as she set the jug down below the well. She was sad and lonely. As she looked up, she saw a man sitting near the well. He wasn't a Samaritan like her. She didn't know who he was.
"Please, would you draw me some water?
I'm thirsty and I don't have a cup."
She was very surprised to hear the man speak to her.
"Who are you?"
"My name is Jesus. I am waiting for my disciples. They have gone into town to buy food for our lunch."
The Samaritan woman lowered the jug into the well. She handed Jesus a cup of water and watched as he drank the cool water.
"Ah, that was good. Thank you very much. I was very thirsty."
And then they began to talk. Jesus seemed to know all about her. He told her that he was the special one promised by God. And he told her that he would give living water to her so that she would never again be thirsty. The Samaritan woman was so excited, she ran back into the town to tell everyone about the man Jesus. When she reached town, she ran up to each person she saw, even the people who didn't like her.
"Come and see a man I've met by the well. I wonder if he could be the Messiah. Come with me to the well."
Many people heard about Jesus because the Samaritan woman shared her story. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thank you both. Jesus and his friends are walking from Judea in the south back home to Galilee in the north. On a map, you'd see that going from Judea to Galilee is sort of like driving from Madisonville to Maryville. But if you're going from Judea to Galilee, you have to go through Samaria. If you're going from Madisonville to Maryville, you have to go through Van Oort. Okay, you don't have to go through Van Oort. You can go out to Sweetwater and up the interstate to Lenore City and back over to Maryville, but it makes the trip about three times longer than it needs to be. The problem was that no Jew wanted to go near Von Ohr. They'd go to any length to avoid it, even if it meant traveling 3 days out of their way to do so. Back in the day, Jews only went to Samaria if they had business in Samaria, but no good Jew had any reason to do any business with anyone in Samaria at any time. Samaria was a vile place, according to Jewish custom, and Samaritans were considered inferior, racially, religiously, and socially. In fact, once when Jesus wanted to make a point, he told a story about a good Samaritan. Every Jew knew that was an oxymoron. There was no such thing as a good Samaritan. Well, at any rate, they end up in Samaria, and the disciples are none too happy about the situation. Thinking the wise course of action would have been to go out to the interstate and not through the middle of this God-forsaken region. And it's high noon and hotter than blazes, and they're hungry. So they go to the nearest town to look for food and leave Jesus sitting alone at a well. A woman approaches, a Samaritan woman. She has come for water and has a bucket. Jesus asks her for a drink. Now, as a good Jew, Jesus is not even supposed to talk with a Samaritan, especially not a lone Samaritan woman. And he certainly isn't supposed to drink water from her bucket. But he does. In fact, his conversation with her, and we heard only part of it today, is the longest conversation recorded anywhere in the New Testament. "I'm thirsty," he says. "Would you give me a drink?" Now, as we go further in this story, you'll see that Jesus talks about water at both a literal and a symbolic level. But at this point, he is speaking literally. "I am thirsty. Would you give me a drink?" Now, this week, as you heard, our children have been studying a curriculum created by Living Waters for the World. That's the mission arm of the Synod of Living Waters, which is the larger regional Presbyterian group of which we are a part. All the PCUSA churches in Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Alabama. The organization has been around for 30 years, and in that time has installed over 1,000 water filtration systems to provide clean drinking water to communities in developing areas of the world. When Jesus says, "I'm thirsty, would you give me a drink?" That's exactly what Living Waters for the World is doing. And so in addition to crafts and activities and stories from the Bible, our children also learned from John Clark about growing coffee in Guatemala. It takes 37 gallons of water to produce enough beans for one cup of coffee. They heard the story of Luis, who is a second grader in Cuba. His family's only source of water was a well that was frequently contaminated. But recently, his church partnered with a church in the U.S. to install a water purification system for that town. And now Luis helps his father and grandmother distribute water to their neighbors. They heard Ann Van Pelt talk about living in Barrow, Alaska, what's known as the North Slope of Alaska, while her father was the pastor of the Utqiagvik Presbyterian Church when she was a teenager. She described having to bring buckets of snow into the house to do laundry and storing blocks of ice on the front porch to be melted for drinking water. Yesterday, Rachel told us about her experience living in Ghana, and her young friend Afua, whom she met there. Afua had to spend much of her time carrying water for her family, and that work was so needed that her parents could not afford to send her to school. Pastor Dora, who had grown up in that village, started a school for girls and gave Afua a scholarship. Now they have a Living Waters filtration system that provides clean water for Afua and her classmates. Sometimes, "Would you give me a drink?" is exactly the place to start. But as Jesus so often does, he turns the tables. He needs water, yes. But he also knows that this Samaritan woman needs something that he can offer her. Something that will quench a thirst she doesn't even know she has. "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again," Jesus says. "But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." Yes, Jesus needs literal water. The Samaritan woman needs living water. Maybe you remember the name of Albert Camus. He was a French existentialist, philosopher, author, playwright in the first half of the 20th century. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1957. Sometime in the 1950s, Camus began to attend the American church in Paris. At first, he just went to hear the organist, which, right, who wouldn't? But something about the preaching captured his attention. In a conversation later with the pastor, Camus said, "The reason I have been coming to church is because I am seeking. I am almost on a pilgrimage, seeking something to fill the void that I am experiencing. No one knows, certainly not the public and readers of my novels. While they may see the void, they're not finding the answers in what they are reading. But down deep," Camus said, "down deep you are right. I am searching for something that the world is not giving me." The woman at the well doesn't use those words, but she expresses the same desire. "Give me this water so that I may never be thirsty. I am searching for something that the world is not giving me." Now, you know the end of this story. The woman chooses to follow Jesus, and what's more, she goes back and tells her entire Samaritan village about him, and they decide to follow as well. It turns out that living water is free for the taking. But even though it's free, it costs everything. It will completely reorient your values and priorities and refocus your life. But the irony of the gospel is that in giving your life away, you get it all back. You may remember a few decades ago, there was this great controversy in the musical world about something called backward masking. The allegation was that if you played rock music backwards, you would hear some sinister message. Most people just dismissed it as sensationalism. But then musicologists tried playing country western music backwards. You know what happens when you play country music backwards, don't you? You get your farm back, you get your truck back, you get your dog back. I'm kidding, of course. But the gospel says that when you give your life away, you get it back. You get your life back, just not the same life. It comes back transformed. How ironic that perfect freedom is found in service. How ironic that we find love only by loving others. How ironic that in turning away from self, we find ourselves. How ironic that in giving, we receive. How ironic that in sacrifice, we find joy. Living water is free, and it costs everything. And then it all comes back again, better than we could ever imagine. So all praise to the one who waters the garden. All praise to the Christ who offers living water. And all praise to the Spirit who quenches our thirst. Amen.